The lesson surrounds a passage in the book of 2 Chronicles, and the title of which, More God Confidence and Less Self-Confidence. More God confidence and less self-confidence. Almost like contradicting myself, up front I say that self-confidence is not only a good thing, but Brother Mitchell, you have just said more God confidence and less self-confidence. Yes, that I said less self-confidence doesn't mean I was saying that self-confidence is not necessary. So, self-confidence is a good thing. In fact, in many areas of life, it becomes a necessity. In each one of us, we need confidence in ourselves to realize our goals and our objectives. A lot of times when we undertake things and we are timid, we are shy, we upfront tell ourselves that we are going to fail and all the wrong things are going to happen, those thoughts help us to fail. You know, it is said that man is his worst enemy. And a lot of times when we blame everything around us, if we ever get to the common sense to realize that we are to be blamed, and that's the part that self-confidence plays, it can be that very important thing that helps us to achieve our goal with all the obstacles and challenges that we might have faced. Not only that, in many things or in many cases, that self-confidence is that which makes the difference between success and failure. We undertake things and we fail for that one ingredient, lack of self-confidence. But do you know what? That as important as self-confidence is, and as necessary as it is, it can become a hindrance in serving God. And above all, the people that need to know this are the people of God. That we can so put self-confidence at the wrong place and God confidence at another wrong place, that failure in the different undertakings, failure is guaranteed. Even for the people of God, the child of God, much of our trust, much of our confidence are misplaced and are responsible for our failures, our defeat, our disappointment, and our hurt. Not because self-confidence is wrong, but because it is misplaced or the wrong emphasis is given to it at the expense of God's confidence. This is the case in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. Let us hear from verse 7 to verse 10. Verse 7 to verse 10, 2 Chronicles.
And at that time,
Hananiah,
the seer,
that's the prophet,
came to Asaph, king of Judah, and said to the king of Judah, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria.
Wait. Because, you see, this is where Asaph, the king, got his confidence. Another flesh and blood. Because you have relied on the king of Judah. You see, we'll be turning to another, hold it, Brother Michael, to another passage in the same Chronicles to give you a background to what the brother is here reading. Read that little part again, brother.
Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria,
uh-huh,
and not relied on the Lord thy God.
You know, we need to digest just that little part. Because in effect, what we are being taught here, that our trust and our confidence can be misdirected. It can be in our bank account. It can be in our friends or relatives in high places. It can be at places that displace or replace God. And if you are listening what I have just listened, it's not that Asaph did not have confidence, but it was misplaced. Read on, brother.
Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand.
Mm-hmm.
Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and with many chariots and horsemen?
We are going to another passage, not right now, because the Almighty God is relating another case, where we are going to listen to one of the, from my perspective, from my point of view, is one of the greatest prayer to be worded either in Old or New Testament. And in that prayer, Asaph, the king of Judah, was at the right place. That is, in respect to his relationship with God and in respect to his confidence in God, that even in the man's prayer, you could see, sense, knowledge, honoring God. We are going to get to that. But what verse you start, brother?
Verse 8.
Read on a little further.
Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's the other case. We haven't gone there yet. Uh-huh. The Almighty God is using that. You know, it reminds me, just last night, Brother Webb and myself were talking, and I point out the lesson that I have to share one Sunday night on the point of the moral use of our memory, that our memory can be used in a wrong way and it can be used in a right way. Very important lesson on the importance of our memory. And in effect, it's like the Almighty God is saying to Asaph the king, why you didn't remember the victory me give you about 7 years ago? Read on further, brother.
Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand.
That is another incident, you know, the one we have not gone to yet. But in that incident, where Asaph had was confronted rather with one of the most massive army from, I think, the Ethiopian people. I wonder where they get material to have built so many chariots. And yet, as massive as that army was, God gave Judah victory. That's what God is taking the man's memory back then. Read on, brother.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
Stop there, brother. A lot of good preaching we are passing here, sir. That God's eye run to and from throughout the world. And you know, one of God's objectives in that is looking to see among the people who really trust in him so that he, God, can show himself strong for us. It doesn't mean that challenge will not come in the life of the people of God. Your sickness will come, tragedy will come, disappointment will come. Wait. Failure sometimes confront us. But that doesn't mean everything ends there. Read on.
Herein, thou hast done foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer.
Watch here now. In so many cases, he was vexed, that's the king, vexed with the seer. Who is that? It's the Obiaman. No, not that type of seer. This is the prophet of God who delivered to the king God's message. When we in honesty, are you all here? Preach a lesson from God's word. If you find the lesson offensive, a lot of times the person who delivered the lesson doesn't even know of your case or your situation for you to walk away and say, "I mean, I talk about you, no." A lot of times we do not know what's going wrong or right in your life. Your point of view should be, if the lesson is really from God's word and delivered and preached in sincerity, you should give God thanks for it. So here the king, I believe he put the prophet in jail.
And put him in a prison house.
You hear that? Put the prophet in prison. Simply because the prophet delivered God's message. We can rely or trust or have confidence in the wrong things or the wrong person at Christ's expense. You see, this is the problem. Is when that confidence replaces God. It's when instead of believing in and trusting God with that situation, that problem, that it's like God is pushed out of the picture and man is brought in, or something else is brought in. God efficaciously make those things that are brought in to replace God, God purposely make them fail. And you know what? A lot of time they fail at critical time in our lives. And why the Almighty God does that? To bring us to our senses. Are we all there? Our bank account can fail. That's right. Yes, yes, you believe in your head that you have a good account and all of that. It doesn't matter what comes in your life, you believe you have the financial wherewithal to deal with it. You can have all the financial wherewithal and God make that financial wherewithal fail because the Almighty God sees that you trust in it too much. And that has happened. We can have so much confidence in our good health. Wait. Yes! Our good health, and never remember that it is from God and be thankful to God. And when you feel that, you feel so strong and healthy, and over the past 100 years you have never gotten sick, so you know you're going to go on like that. Sometimes that's the very time that your health begins to fail. God works like that. Are we all there? Look at Psalms 146 and verse 3. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. Let us hear them. Psalms 146 verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 28.
Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help.
Stop there, brother. Somebody didn't hear that. When you have friends in high place, that's good, because sometimes it becomes real helpful that you have a friend at the right place. But be careful that they are not used in your thinking and your action to replace the Almighty God. Never be tempted to think that any man can replace God, or any amount of money or land and house. Read that again, brother.
Put not your trust in princes.
I believe you are reading from Psalms 146 and verse 3. Yes.
Nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. End of verse.
Everybody hear that? Look at Proverbs 11:28.
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch.
Watch here now. It says the righteous. What that means? The righteous man, the man who knows God and understands God and have a right relationship with God, he or she learn not to trust in the wrong thing, or not to replace God with your trust. Read that again in Proverbs.
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch.
Don't you want to be furnished as a branch? Yes. Keep trusting in God. It doesn't matter what success come your way. hold the passage of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Just hold it. Hold it while I point this out. The good and the bad experiences in life, the positive and the negative experiences in life, brings out of us and help us to see and know ourselves. I need to repeat that to make sure. In life, once you have lived to see a certain amount of years, sometimes a teenager have profited from his or her experience to realize certain move is wrong move. A lot of time it takes a person to reach 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 before they learn. But those experiences that come our way as good or bad, those experiences that we looked on as positive or negative, one of the good things they play is that they bring out of us and help us to see and know ourselves. And the Almighty God wants us to understand ourselves as we go through life. It helps. Watch here now. That's exactly the point in Deuteronomy. Well, first, let us hear Jeremiah, the passage, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13.
Be astonished, O ye heavens.
Be astonished, O you heavens.
At this.
At this.
And be horribly afraid.
And be horribly afraid.
Be ye very desolate.
Be very desolate.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Almighty God.
For my people have committed two evils.
They have committed two evils.
They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters.
Watch here, watch here. They have forsaken the Almighty God. A term like that, you know, is speaking to the backsliders. Are we all there? Because when the passage said that they are forsaken is when Israel turned from God, take up idolatry, sinful practices, and start to shove God one side. What they have done with God, brother?
They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
you see, they need water. But they are looking to the wrong source for water. God was replaced. That's verse 3, verse 13. Well, now turn with me to the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God...
May I have your attention? What the Almighty God is doing is the Israelite had progress, great progress. They were sort of close to the promised land. And the Almighty God is asking the Israelite to reflect on the journey that you have taken. Watch here, watch here. And reflect and some of the ups and downs that came your way. Read on, brother.
And thou shalt remember.
Thou shalt remember.
All the way.
The importance of memory. As I've said, one of the Sunday night, we'll be having a lesson on the moral use of our memory. Thou shalt remember.
All the way.
All the way.
which the Lord thy God,
which the Almighty God
led thee,
led thee
these 40 years in the wilderness.
Most of us, if not all of us, remember that that journey was meant to take the Israelite just a little over a month. Are we all there? Just a little over a month. It took them 40 years. You know who caused that? The Israelites themselves. Read on, brother.
To humble thee and to
prove
thee.
Wait, start that. Remember again.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
That is, scan, reflect on your journey over the past 40 years. Watch here, read on.
To humble thee.
What God permitted you to go through. Watch it, watch it. Was to bring experience in your life. It was to?
To humble thee.
Humble you.
And to prove thee.
To prove you.
To know what was in thine heart.
To make what was in you come out. Circumstance does not make the man, it reveals the man. A lot of times we say, this changed the person and that changed the person. No. Those experiences that the Israelites had only bring out what was already there. The Almighty God wanted that. God wanted what was in them, the real men and the real women, to come out. So that they could know themselves better and make the necessary adjustment. You're not finished, brother.
Whether thou would keep his commandments or no, and he humbled thee.
He humbled you.
And suffered thee to hunger.
The Almighty God permitted you to get hungry. The Almighty God permitted scarcity of food.
And fed thee with manna.
The Almighty God fed you with angel food.
Which thou knewest not.
Food that you didn't know before.
Neither did thy fathers know.
Your father didn't know that type of food.
That he might make thee know.
And all of these experiences, remember what I said, that these negative and positive experiences, these good and bad experiences, they help us to see and to get to know ourselves so that we can make the necessary adjustment in our lives to live closer to God. Read the brother.
That he might make thee know.
That God may make you. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I thought it was for God to get to know them. No, God knows them already. But you see, human beings, we have self-deception about ourselves. God says, I want you to know yourself, and this is why I make you go through all those ups and downs to the wilderness. And wait, it's the same reason. Sometimes the Almighty God permit us to go through different things in this life. Are you all there, Christians? Oh, come me, I try to serve God and me go through all of this. Me. Yes, the Almighty God in many cases is helping us to get to know ourselves. To help us to see what we are made of spiritually, morally, ethically. Are we all there? Anything left there?
That he might make thee know.
That he may make you know.
That man does not live by bread only.
You know, man still have not learned that lesson. Huh? Wait. Bread doesn't just mean that which is made up of wheat and butter and whatever. Bread here is a general term for the material things of life. The Almighty God permitted you, Israelite, to go through all these problems. In many cases, the existence of you as a nation was threatened. That's the way the Israelites saw it. And all of that, the Almighty God permitted to help you to understand that man does not live by mere bread alone, but he lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, look how long the Almighty God taught that lesson to Israel, and we have it. And you know, we still don't learn it yet. We feel that we must have a lot of bread. And I'm not talking wheat bread. And talk about money, house, land. We feel without that, my life gone to pieces. And there is no trust in God. That was verse 2 and 3. Step me to verse 16. It's like God is repeating himself. So important is this principle.
Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna?
God fed you in the wilderness with manna,
which thy fathers knew not.
That's another verse, you know, he's reading. That's verse 16. He's now reading. Read.
That he might humble thee.
That he might humble thee.
And he might prove thee.
He might prove thee.
To do thee good at thy latter end.
You notice that? I wonder if that is you. All the ups and downs and the challenges and the obstacle that God permitted to come in your way. Many of them look like the Almighty God was going to permit the Gentile nation to wipe you out as a people. All of that God permitted to mold you into great people and to make you understand that it is not bread alone that preserves life, it is God. And that the Almighty God permitted you to go through all of that so that at the end of all this experience, you may give God a chance to bless you more. Did you get that? Chad, they didn't get that last part, you know.
That he might humble thee,
mm-hmm.
And that he might prove thee,
uh-huh.
To do thee good at thy latter end.
To do thee good at the end of everything. At the end of all that problem, challenge, failure, disappointment, fear, needs, starvation, at the end of it, God had blessing for them in mind. More God confidence and less self-confidence. Let me make a few more statements. There's the other passage. Yes, I haven't forgotten that a bit. There's another passage where you can put in context what God said to King Asaph in chapter 16, verse 7 through 9. You are not able to put that in context until we go to this other passage about trusting in God. I'm not sure we will get there today. I make this statement in reference, because we would like to complete this lesson, but and for you to put in context what we shared in chapter 16, same Second Chronicles. Over King Asa misplaced confidence. The application for us, all of us, is learning to trust God. And learn that it doesn't matter what comes your way in life, don't ever permit things or people to let you divert your trust from God. Wait, it doesn't mean you cannot have confidence in people. So don't get that wrong either. There are many areas in life where it is good to have confidence in a person. It is good where children growing up learn to have confidence in their mother and father. That's right. It is good when certain situation comes up, you know that that person can handle it. What is wrong now is when we easily remove our confidence from the Almighty God and put it either in things or in man. Money and whatever. So King Asaph of Judah, his misplaced trust and confidence, his bad memory. Brother Mitchell, my memory is bad, you know. Well, not everybody have a sharp memory, but there are some things it's good for us to remember. I don't know if you noticed that passages we have read right in this lesson, the Almighty God called upon the character that was under consideration there to remember. The Almighty God called upon Israel to remember the path that they traveled coming from Egypt to traveling to the Promised Land. God wanted them to look over their ups and downs. God wanted them to look over the negative and the positive. Because the Almighty God knew that once they are able to survey those experiences, it would do them good. So King Asaph's bad memory were responsible for his defeat, failure, and his misery. Our bad memory can do that. And I'm not talking about bad memory in terms of you can't remember lot of things. I'm not talking about that. It's that there are some things that God has done in our life that we should remember at least some of them, because they were meant to help us, to provide the spiritual and the moral tonic to help us as we go through life. I'm almost tempted to bring up some character here in the Bible, but most likely in that Sunday night lesson where, but for memory, that the person remember what God had done for him or her few years ago. Asaph had forgotten what God had done for him. And his misplaced trust was what brought, and his bad memory, what brought his defeat. I close, as I've said, Let me pick up on the lesson next week. But I close with the fact that bad memory and Asaph, the king of Judah, his forgetfulness became a costly liability to him. Costly liability. Again, I'm not talking about that ordinary bad memory. That comes. The Almighty God, in dealing with us, the Almighty God often leave indelible memory in our lives. We have no right to forget them. You ever realize that there are some experiences you have, probably from you were a child, and certain things always remind you of that incident? That's right. Things that happened when you were a child. Now you are a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 year old. Oh my God. I enjoy some of my memory as a child. My God, you see, sometimes even now when I go to my district and walk certain place, well, the Almighty God has done things in our lives that were meant to play that part. And those memories were not meant to do us harm. They were meant to do us good. This king that we have read of. So I close reminding you that while self-confidence is good and under certain situation is necessary, that we be not people who are timid and fretful and fearful, but never permit self-confidence to replace God's confidence. Don't ever permit anything to replace the confidence that you are to have in the Almighty God as you go through life, dealing with the various challenges, the various negatives, the various ups and downs. God wants us to trust in Him. You know why? God is trustworthy. You can trust God. And in effect, what God was saying to Asaph, you should have trusted me because I can be trusted. If you are here today, if you have never learned trust, in fact, that's what you need to do anyway. You need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, that you become, that you become a vessel in whom the Almighty God can work. Wait. Did you know that for God to do certain things with you, you have to have a particular relationship with Him? Did you know that if a particular relationship with God does not exist, there are certain things God wants to do with you and for you that He can't do it until you have gotten into that relationship? My memory, remind me of that passage. You are no more stranger, but fellow citizen. That's right. The Almighty God wants you to become a citizen in His kingdom. That is His church that He purchased with His blood. So right now, you can give your life to Jesus Christ. That's why we preach lessons like this, to help you to understand you need Christ. Not only, not only you call upon God when a particular need comes in your life. No, you call upon God in good times. You call upon him because you want to turn your life over to him. And you know what? You know what? As we close, you cannot turn your life over to the Almighty God unless it follows God's step, God's process of hearing his word, believing his word, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. Wait, wait, wait. You cannot get into a healthy father-children relationship with God unless it follows these steps. Hearing the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for your sin and because of your sin. You not only hear, but you believe. But you do not stop at believing, because the Bible says faith without works is dead. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? If you merely believe, but do not move from belief or faith, that doesn't help you. That's what the Bible means when it says faith without works is dead. Mr. Mitchell, what does it mean by works? The works of obedience. That is, you not only believe, but you repent. You make a decision to give up sinful practices and turn to Christ. You not only repent, you are willing to confess Christ's name, and you are willing to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. You must. There can be no relationship today with Christ this side of the cross until you have heard his word, believed the truth. Wait. I need to make a qualification. Not just any religious thing. It must be the gospel of Christ. When you hear the gospel, believe it. Believe that Christ died for you. You make a decision to repent of your sin. You're not ashamed of Christ, so you're willing to confess his name as Lord, as the Son of God. And you submit yourself in obedience to baptism, because that is where and when your sins are addressed by God. Mr. Mitchell, I didn't get that. Yes, it is at baptism. That's the point and the place and the action when God removes your sin. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. That's God's word. Acts of the Apostles 22, verse 16. And you know what? Jesus Christ is ready right now to forgive you if you will obey him. And we are here ready to sit down and talk with you further and to help you understand better anything that you need to understand.